A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will not serve my God or worship the golden statue that I set up? Be ready now to fall down and worship the statue I had made. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, flute, lyre, harp, psaltery, bagpipe, and all the other musical instruments. Otherwise, you shall be instantly cast into the white-hot furnace. And who is the God who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "There is no need for us to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, can save us from the white-hot furnace and from your hands, O King, may he save us. But even if he will not, know, O King, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue that you set up." King Nebuchadnezzar's face became livid with utter rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times more than usual and had some of the strongest men in his army bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the white-hot furnace. Nebuchadnezzar rose in haste and asked his nobles, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" "Assuredly, O King," they answered. "But," he replied, "I see 4 men, unfettered and unhurt, walking in the fire, and the 4th looks like a son of God." Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver the servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the royal command and yielded their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." The word of the Lord. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. And blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages.
Glory and praise.
Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever.
Glory and praise.
Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you in the firmament of heaven, praiseworthy and glorious forever.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Johannem.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But they answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son frees you, then you will be truly free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father." They answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You were doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me." Verbum Domini. Today, the church puts before us these most dramatic readings. Our first reading from the prophet Daniel about their captivity, the Israelites' captivity in Babylon, in modern-day Iraq. And they are in bondage to King Nebuchadnezzar, who ruled from 605 to 562, and the Jews' captivity was in the 6th century from 587 BC to 537 BC. So he is the king during part of this captivity. And Nebuchadnezzar had built this 90-foot tall golden idol of Marduk. That was their god, their chief god among many gods. It's from the book of Daniel. Daniel was the governor because of his great wisdom, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were his administrators. These are the Chaldean names of them: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were their Jewish names. So Nebuchadnezzar issues this edict: when you hear the music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image, or you will be cast into the fiery furnace. And we're told just simply, and everyone did this, right? Almost everyone. Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Assyria, Egypt, Syria, and built architectural wonders, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. This is recognized by the Greeks, the ancient Greeks, as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. He was this mighty, powerful king, and he held the Israelites in bondage there. And then some of the Chaldeans maliciously accused the Jews, we're told. And they said, you know, these ones you appointed, these prominent figures, they're refusing to bow down. They're giving this bad example. So Nebuchadnezzar questions them, "Is it true? You know, is it true that you will not serve my God or worship the golden statue that I set up?" And he questions them, "You know, who is this God, you know, whom you worship, who can deliver you out of my hands? I'm Nebuchadnezzar. I've conquered this known world. I'm powerful." And their answer is so powerful and faith-filled. He said, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." But even if he will not, even if God doesn't physically deliver us from this, we will not serve your false gods. This threw Nebuchadnezzar into a rage, heated up the furnace 7 times hotter. The guards died, and they got so close they died throwing these guys into the furnace. They look into the fiery furnace and they see, they say, did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire? Assuredly, O king, they answered him. But he replied, I see 4 men, unfettered and unhurt, walking in the fire, and the 4th looks like a son of God. And we see this acknowledgement of the God of Israel from this wicked king. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver the servants who trusted in him. They refused to, even though they disobeyed the royal command, and yield their bodies rather than serve any god except their God. That's so powerful. Thrown into the fiery furnace, they see a 4th one they call like the Son of Man. This is a messianic title. This is pointing to Christ, that Jesus is there in our sufferings, in our persecutions, in our difficulties. He first suffered for us, and he is there in the midst of the crucible of our lives to strengthen us. He is there with his cross, death and resurrection. That resurrection, that the men are spared. That's an image of this deliverance that Jesus gives us. And he tells us this in the gospel passage selected today from John's Gospel 8. He's, these things are really heating up. There's great hatred, rejection towards Jesus. And Jesus tells them, he said to the Jews who believed in him, if you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. If Jesus sets us free, we are truly free. He frees us from sin and death. Sin, which enslaves us, sin, which has left us with a fallen human nature, has left us with suffering, a fallen world that we live in today that has a spirit of rejection of the gospel. That's all due to sin. It's enslaved us, it's bound us, that I can't break those fetters of my own strength. But the truth of Jesus Christ, his words, if we believe them, if we cling to them, if we hold on to him, recognizing him as the Son of God that through his death and resurrection frees us, gives us new life, an eternal life. If we hang on to those words and ask God for mercy, for forgiveness, we can be free. And when Jesus frees us, we are truly freed. And we can't get that freedom from anywhere else. No other can we be liberated from sin and death. Jesus is the one mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. He is the only one. Later in 2 Timothy, it says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of stress, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. Avoid such people. That's the spirit of our age. And the one that really got me was holding the form of religion I found this looking for the one mediator quote. I wasn't sure where it was. And I happened to come upon this one. It's very powerful later in Timothy. Holding the form of religion, but denying the power of it. We're in church. What kind of faith do we have? Is it merely in propositions and teachings of the church? Or do we really believe that Jesus liberates us from sin and death? That he, when he frees us, then we are truly freed at the deepest level. Only in him that we can find that kind of freedom. Have we grasped hold of it? Do we have the quality of faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who's willing to suffer and just trust God, period, no matter what happens? But if not, if I don't get what I want, if things, my prayers are seemingly unanswered, if I have frustration and crosses in my life, does that damage my faith? Or do I have that quality of faith that say, I still believe. I still cling to God. I come to him. I ask for power and strength that I don't have of my own. And we can do that in the sacraments in an unbelievable way. We can come to him in the Eucharist to receive him, to remain in the Word, believing in his scriptures and literally remaining in the second person of the Trinity through communion with him, through the Eucharist. I can unite my life, my cross with him in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I can go to confession, repent of my sins, and be truly forgiven. Nowhere else can I find that forgiveness. That's what he offers us. May we have the faith to take hold of it, to live it in our life.